Eclipse drops a bombshell at a press conference. Eads says its new tanker will mean more American jobs. Boeing counters that its design will save the Air Force fuel. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 15th, 2008. Sometimes the story of the week shows up on Monday. Eclipse Aviation answered December speculation on its financial health by seeding a capital infusion with additional cash deposits from willing customers, setting a first-year jet production record for manufacturers, and certifying both Avio NG and the first production plane to feature the new panel. Monday, President and CEO Vern Rayburn announced that December seed money from customers has been followed up with an equity investment described as substantially in excess of $100 million by its European partner, European Technology and Investment Research Center, also known as ETURC Aviation. Upon completion of its investment, ETURC will be the single largest shareholder in Eclipse Aviation. ETURC CEO Roel Pieper has been elected non-executive chairman of Eclipse. As part of the deal, ETURC expands its exclusive rights to manufacture, sell, maintain, and provide training for the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet in more than 60 countries across the UK, Europe, and Russia. As ANN reported, the company ordered 180 Eclipse 500s last May. Most of those are for the Turkish market. And yes, you heard the word manufacture. Rayburn announced that ETURC will construct a new plant in Russia, where the Eclipse 500 will be assembled for European customers from parts sourced through Albuquerque. Rayburn called it the first time in history that a U.S. plane has been produced in Russia, at least legally, and emphasized that not only will the Russian production not come at the expense of the company's Albuquerque workforce, but will result in another 500 jobs there. Among the financial backers of ETURC in this venture is the Russian government itself, and Rayburn tells ANN that Vladimir Putin himself believes his country needs a plane like the Eclipse 500 and has been personally supportive of the deal. These developments rewrite the outlook for the very light jet segment itself, and there are so many facets to this story that we're devoting 3 days of expanded coverage to it on the Aero News special feature. Our daily audio feature today features the press briefing itself. Tomorrow, we'll present the reporter Q&A session. Then on Thursday, Aero News managing editor Rob Finfrock will discuss the story one-on-one with Vern Rayburn. In other news, Airbus is dangling a not-so-subtle carrot in front of the U.S. Air Force. Select the Northrop Eads KC-30 to be the service's next-generation aerial tanker, and we'll build an assembly plant in Alabama. Pick Boeing, and we won't. The proposed U.S. plant would also build a freighter version of the Airbus A330 airliner, adding another 300 new jobs to the 1,000 or so provided by the tanker assembly operation, and would coincide with Eads' announced strategy of moving some production to the U.S. to take advantage of the collapse in the dollar's value. Airbus President and CEO Tom Enders calls the KC-30, quote, the world's most capable military tanker, unquote, and notes that the Alabama plant would be the first new major aircraft plant in the U.S. in 40 years and the first ever for Airbus. Boeing is the other bidder in that competition. Its KC-767 tanker is based on the 767 airliner platform. Boeing has portrayed the Airbus plane as too big and heavy to meet the performance demanded by the Air Force for its updated tanker fleet. On Monday, Boeing released a study which claims the 767 in airline trim is substantially more fuel efficient than the Airbus A330, especially over a 40-year service life. The 53-page report was prepared by Conklin and Dedecker Aviation Information, funded by Boeing, and intended to highlight the difference the service might expect in operating costs between the Northrop Eads KC-30 and the Boeing KC-767. Mark McGraw, vice president of Boeing Tanker Programs, noted, quote, senior Air Force leaders have said that when a barrel of oil increases by $10, it costs them about $600 million a year. So it is critical, especially with rising fuel prices, that the Air Force's next refueling tanker meet or exceed their requirements and be as efficient as possible. That aircraft is the right-sized KC-767 advanced tanker, unquote. A baggage handler strike in Argentina erupted in violence over the weekend as passengers revolted over delays and cancellations of flights by Aerolíneas Argentinas. Televised scenes at Ministro Pistorini International Airport in Buenos Aires showed smashed ticket counters and broken glass. All the airline's customer service reps walked off the job after one was injured by an angry mob of stranded passengers. Reuters reports the airline has refused to demand to grant raises commensurate with inflation in Argentina. Up next on ANN, the new Marine One is on the verge of being Marine Zero. The Air Force gets set to argue for more F-22 Raptors. And a pilot who went down in Tampa Bay may have gotten his runways confused. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 15th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Representatives with Augusta Westland told ANN on Friday the first two VH-71 helicopters built to serve as Marine One for the President of the United States have entered the flight test phase at Naval Air Station Patuxent River, Maryland. Over the next 11 months, the initial five presidential helicopters are scheduled to be among additional test aircraft delivered, but now it's not clear the program will continue. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday that Lockheed Martin's contract to provide the aircraft might be at risk of imminent cancellation. The project is late and likely to run well over its $6 billion budget, in part because the helicopters were specced with so much armor and gadgetry, it wasn't clear that the underlying Augusta Westland design could even carry the weight in summer heat. Among the options under consideration by the Pentagon, according to the journal's unnamed source, is just picking up the phone and asking Sikorsky to send over a modified S-92. That would no doubt be a source of great amusement at United Technologies, whose proven Sikorsky VH-3D and VH-60N helos are currently serving as Marine One, but whose newer machine lost out to a Lockheed bid based on a British airframe. Lockheed has chosen to remain upbeat, commenting only that it continues evaluating options with the Navy on how to proceed with the program. Better news for Lockheed is that the Air Force is considering a renewed push for more F-22 Raptors to replace the roughly 40% of the aging F-15 fleet found to have problems with fuselage longerons. Major General Mark Shackelford is quoted in an interview with the Star-Telegram as saying that this discussion is separate from the one on the issue of whether to keep the plane in production past its now scheduled 2011 termination. The Air Force is budgeted to get a total of 183 Raptors, but reportedly believes it needs about twice that many to maintain air superiority. The issue with the F-15s is likely to get the issue back before Pentagon budget planners and eventually Congress. Tim Monville, an investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board, says the pilot of a Cessna 172 Skyhawk that ditched on approach to St. Petersburg Clearwater Airport Saturday apparently had lined up for approach to the wrong runway. WTSP Television News reported on Sunday that Monville told reporters the plane had been cleared to land on runway 22, which is commonly used for general aviation traffic. But, quote, the controller observed the aircraft appeared to be lined up to land on runway 27. The controller questioned the pilot which runway he was lined up for, unquote. Just after that exchange, Monville said, quote, a witness reported the pilot banked to the right 90 degrees, rolled to the left 45 degrees, corrected to wings level attitude, nosed up to a nose up pitch. In the witness's words, the airplane stalled and rolled to the left, unquote. The aircraft impacted the water less than 100 yards from runway 22, which lies to the right of the approach of runway 27. Weather conditions were clear at the time of the accident. 31-year-old pilot Joseph Bellamy reportedly flew the rented 172 about once a month. The bodies of Bellamy and his parents who were on board were later recovered from the bay by divers. Investigators in California are reportedly trying to determine whether Anglo-American Aviation, located on Gillespie Field in the San Diego suburb of El Cajon, sponsored student visas while lacking FAA certification. The San Jose Mercury News reports the school voluntarily shut down last week when immigration agents seized records, then resumed flying on Friday when its logbooks were returned by agents. The FAA requires flight schools to be certified to sponsor foreign students for flight training in the U.S. Agency spokesman Ian Greger said Anglo-American allowed its FAA certification to lapse last year. There have been no arrests. Anglo-American has been incorporated since 1994 and caters to students from Europe and India seeking FAA and JAA licenses and ratings in a condensed time frame. Still ahead, Virgin Atlantic moves up its test of biofuel for use in airliners. Canadian students will enter a UAV in a U.S. Navy competition. And Obama's bad luck with campaign aircraft continues. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 15th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Virgin Atlantic says it plans to operate the world's first commercial jet flight powered by biofuel next month. Reuters reports the Boeing 747 will fly a relatively short hop from London Heathrow to Amsterdam. It will not have passengers on board. If all goes to plan, the flight will come 10 months earlier than planned by Virgin or project partners Boeing and GE Aviation. The airline has not cleared up the mystery yet of whether the fuel is derived from soybeans or algae, saying only that it's renewable. Both fuels are said to produce lower carbon emissions than petroleum-based fuels. The airliner will operate on a mix of biofuel and Jet A, similar to efforts conducted recently by the U.S. Air Force. Virgin CEO Sir Richard Branson commented, quote, "The flight will give our engineers and those at Boeing and GE vital learnings for the passenger flights of the future," unquote. What he didn't say, but you know he's thinking, it'll also give Virgin bragging rights. After 3 years of hard work, a team of Canadian engineering students have successfully launched their unmanned computer-controlled aircraft into the skies over Edmonton. That happened over the summer. Now, the Edmonton Journal reports, the University of Alberta Aerial Robotics Group says it's building a bigger version of its lightweight foam and fiberglass aircraft to enter in an international unmanned aerial vehicle competition in Maryland this June. The competition is sponsored in part by the U.S. Navy and places intense real-world demands on the UAVs. Each craft must be in fully autonomous flight, navigate a specified course, and use onboard payload sensors to assess man-made objects in a search area prior to returning to the launch point for landing. The UAV is equipped with an onboard autopilot programmed by a computer. Mechanical engineering student Jamie Yen explains, quote, "We just say, go here and search. Then it takes care of the actual flying." The UA Aerial Robotics Group is made up of students from various fields of study, with different levels of expertise in airplanes, electronics, building, and programming. Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Barack Obama is not having good luck with chartered planes during his campaign. In November, one of his pilots landed at the wrong airport one night, 150 miles off course, making him an hour late for a rally near Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He still won that state's Democratic Party caucus. Nevada's caucus is coming up, and Obama was there campaigning until late Friday. He excused himself a bit early to get back to Midway aboard a Gulfstream II, but his pilot knocked wings with a Cessna 208 while taxiing after landing at Chicago. A campaign spokesman says he doesn't think anyone on the flight felt the collision, The FAA reported minor damage to both aircraft and no injuries. Obama no doubt hopes to have better luck aboard Air Force One in the near future. And finally, it's amazing what you can find on eBay. Back in the 1980s, engineers at Boeing burned through a reported $6 million developing three prototype vehicles designed to be able to drive on roads, float on water, and fly. Legend has it that every flight of the vehicle, called the Sky Commuter, crashed before exceeding 10 feet in altitude. When the program was shut down, there was only one vehicle intact. That was the one used for PR tours to raise more investor money. You guessed it, the only remaining Sky Commuter turned up on eBay. It sold on Monday for $131,700 U.S. The winning bidder, who we know only as Prattis Girl, gets the 400-pound, 14-foot-long, composite-bodied car with three ducted fans, but it comes with a warning. Do not try this at home. The seller cautions that while the machine is a great museum piece, a stable control system was never perfected. But he also points out the same could be said of the Mueller Sky Car, which was recently abandoned after decades of hype and a reported $88 million spent. By comparison, the Boeing Sky Commuter's $6 million price tag is chump change. By the way, the winning bidder says the Sky Commuter will go to a museum. Ah, nuts. I wish I had seen that auction. I've been looking for something to drive to cruise nights this summer. Sky Commuter number one of three would have been lots more interesting than another 69 Nova SS. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. As we mentioned, today we'll bring you Eclipse Aviation's press conference with details on the company's new influx of capital and plans for a factory in Russia. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.